That's the rule that has changed according to the NCAA now. Players are allowed to market themselves to, they own their name, image, and likeness. They can sign endorsement deals, all that stuff. And it's the Wild Wild West. Remember, here we were like, okay, let's sign Keaton Slovis to a deal to just do an announcement for us. Just do a, hey, I love Mason in Ireland, it's my favorite show, all that stuff. We were going to do that. We find out he's represented by Clutch Sports already for endorsements. And, John, you came across a couple of guys at Texas A&M that this may be changing the way we do business.
Right. So here's what's happening. And by the way, this name, image, and likeness stuff is changing by the day. People are coming up with creative new ways to funnel money to college athletes. So last week, a website that covers Texas A&M, techags.com, announced it had paid two A&M football players $10,000 each for exclusive interviews. That means if you want to go do a story on Texas A&M and you want these two guys to be part of your story. You know, I was a reporter in L.A. for 30 years.
Yeah.
Basically, what I would do is I would go to the sports information director and I'd say, hey, I want to talk to Reggie Bush and I want to talk to Lendale White.
Yep.
And Tim Tessalone or Paul Goldberg, the SIDs over there, would say, okay, be at practice. Their availability is at 5:30 and we'll get them for you. And they'd come over, and I'd do a story, and it'd be good for me because people were interested. It'd be good for USC because it promotes their football.
Good for the audience. Good for people watching.
Yeah. Now, what these websites are doing is they're saying, look, we'll pay you exclusively not to talk to anybody except us.
Wow.
You can monetize it. And, Mace, so think about that. Now, I still think after games –
yeah, it's going to be – you have to be able to talk to guys after games.
For example, LeBron always does mandatory media. He's really – Kobe was really good at it. LeBron's really good at it. That's part of the Players Association deal with the NBA, that LeBron talks after games. You know, occasionally if he's hurt and doesn't play or if he needs a day off, Allison will say in advance, hey, LeBron's not going to talk tonight, but he'll be back tomorrow night.
Right.
So you can get him after games. But if you want to do a feature story during the week – it's harder to get those guys sometimes. LeBron's not a very good example because he's pretty much talks every day.
Yeah.
But now with these college guys, they're saying is, look, don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to anybody during the week. Because if you have something to say, we want you to say it on techags.com. And the reason you brought this up is then two players at the University of Texas signed with orangebloods.com. Now, they'll still be allowed to participate in normal interview sessions with local reporters, so like after games, but
right.
If they have anything
to say during the week,
then you got to go to these websites to hear from these kids. Is this a good thing? I mean, you do too. We want these kids to get paid. But is this a good thing or a bad thing?
You know, I think all this name, image, likeness stuff is... it is the Wild Wild West right now. Nobody exactly knows how it's going to work. We're seeing deals all over the place. Now, by the way, we're seeing players with agencies that are representing them for endorsements.
Right. Like when you DM'd Keaton Slovis, he got back to you and said, if you want to pursue this, talk to Clutch.
Talk to Clutch.
Yeah.
You're limiting the access of guys, but I can understand why. Like, how much can you make for making yourself exclusive to a particular, like, let's say Keaton Slovis, and USCfootball.com, they want to make a direct deal. Like, what do you think it would cost to make a direct deal?
Well, the bar's been set now, 10 grand for these A&M guys. So the price starts there.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good chunk of change for, you know, exclusivity for 3 months.
I say good for them. And you know what, John, for the rest of us, it's a little bit like the Players Tribune or one of those sites. We will play the clips from those websites. Nobody can stop us from taking the Keaton Slovis
Correct.
Interview.
But to get the clips, we have to go to orangebloods.com and credit them when we do it. Now get a load of this. Like, if you're wondering how far this can go. Beto just sent me a text that there's a high school kid named Mikey Williams who signed with XL for endorsements. The VP of XL, which is a sports agency, says that Williams will generate millions of dollars. His relevance around his peers in the basketball community is off the charts. For example, remember how popular LaMelo Ball was when he was in high school?
Oh, sure.
So if he cut an exclusive deal, now he can get paid for that because the name, image, and likeness rules are gone. How long is it going to be before a 12- or 13-year-old? Like, would 12- or 13-year-old LeBron get paid? Probably.
Probably would. And deserves it. There is a high school kid who's like all the rage right now. I can't think of what his name is, but I read an article about him. He's like a gigantic deal. So, yeah, why not? And in terms of these kids who sign these deals with these websites, I say good for them. Make what you can. You know, too long, guys have scrapped along without the ability to work, without the ability to generate any sort of income for themselves, for spending money, all that kind of stuff. I say, good for them. Make as much as you possibly can. And if that means signing exclusively with, like, I wonder what it would cost for us to do the Keaton Slovis show, to have Keaton on every week.
Well, we got to go through Clutch. So a little more info on this Mikey Williams kid, this high school kid. He's in the class of 2023.
This is the guy I was talking about?
I don't know. He's from San Ysidro down.
Yeah, that's
San
the guy. That's the guy. Yeah.
He has 5 million followers on his social media platform.
Yes.
So now, if you want to talk to him, you got to go through XL, his agency. And he's in high school.
Yeah. Now, I think it's all positive. Now, I think it's going to be weird as we go along because I don't think anybody really knows the rules. But I do think this is a net positive for college football and collegiate athletes.
And, you know, and what's interesting is before he was suspended or put on the commissioner's list, Trevor Bauer had a thing where he would talk after games.
Yep.
He would talk to the general media after games. But if you wanted to talk to him during the week, he was unavailable and he would let everything out on his websites, on his social media platform, on his Facebook, on his Instagram. Remember when he announced who he was signing with? He did it on his own Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the way. That's the wave of the future, right?
Yeah,
there.
I completely agree with you. Completely. And the Keaton Slovis show will debut. This is the national championship year for USC. The schedule breaks
They better do it now because the SEC is pretty much going to have their own. By the way, if the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma going there had their own national championship tournament where just they played but didn't let any outsiders in. I'm trying to think. Wouldn't as many people watch that? The USC would be left out. Oregon would be left out.
Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson.
Those five would be it, right?
Yeah. That's not a legit national championship, particularly if the other teams are having really good years.
Right.
And you know what? I think they made the SEC more rugged. I don't know what division they're going to be in, but Texas, look out, man. That's a much tougher conference. Look out, Oklahoma. That's a much tougher conference.
I think Oklahoma's going to do fine. I'd be worried about – Sark should be worried.
Yeah, can you believe Sark is a head coach and Lane is a head coach?
And now they're going to be in the same conference.
And Coach O is a head coach. All that Michigas we had.
Come on the show.
That whole Michigas we had for a couple of years with Sark and Lane and Coach O, now they're all coaching and we still have Clay. And it is the year of the Clay, John. It's the year of the Clay. I promise you that. So
You've been promising that for 5 years.
This is the year. Schedule-wise, it breaks our way. So did you see the robot at the Tokyo Olympics?
Yes. I don't know how this doesn't scare the hell out of you.
Who was shooting perfectly, shot perfectly from half court, has just a dead eye shot. I did not see the robot miss a shot at any point. Why would this scare me?
Because what if he was shooting a gun instead of a basketball?
Well, I mean, you're giving me a hypothetical.
Exactly.
You're going to give
that's how you have to look at these robots.
You're going to give the basketball
slope?
Shooting robot a gun?
I'm not, but Dr. Evil is.
Yeah, I think we are going to reach a point where, and I think it's okay, where we are going to have law enforcement something that are robots.
Terminator, basically.
It doesn't have to be Terminator.
Sure it is. I'll be back. These robots are going to take over the world. I don't know how this doesn't scare the hell out of you. Take that shot-making robot and put him back in the line.
Were you not impressed, though?
No, it's a robot. It's like there's a golf thing called Iron Byron.
Yeah.
Where they basically put a golf club on a robot and he hits it perfect down the middle 300 yards every time. That's not hard for a robot. It's hard for me and you.
Yeah, I was impressed. I count me as impressed. I think robots can basically wind up doing anything.
Hey,
any of our jobs.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Speaking of robots in Tokyo, is your Olympic viewing normal?
It's or a good question.
Are you a little less? I mean, normally if the Olympics are on, I'd have it on every night.
Yes.
For whatever reason, I'm not. I'm watching some of it. There was some great swimming last night.
Yeah, great swimming.
I checked out the basketball loss.
Did you watch
France.
The skateboarding?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't really.
I think we had a local kid take the bronze in that tricks portion.
But I'm not as glued to it as I normally am. Why?
So here's one of the problems, I think. I don't know where to watch all the things that I want.
Yeah.
To see. Like, I've got Channel 4 on right now, so I'm watching.
Did you pay the $5 to Peacock?
I do have Peacock because there are a couple of good shows on there. So
no,
I do
but,
have
but there's you can get Peacock for free, or you can pay $5 a month for premium. I signed up yesterday for the $5 a month so I could watch USA France. And those are 2 hours I will never get back.
Is that only, by the way, on Peacock? Is the basketball
yeah.
only on
that,
Peacock?
Well, the game yesterday was. And I figured $5 a month I can afford.
But I think they replay it because I think they showed it.
I wanted to watch it live.
Yeah.
Because I'm watching women's 200 meters individual medley, which is always the crazy one. They start out with the butterfly, and then they have all four major strokes. They finish with the freestyle. I love the Olympics, but here's my problem. It's so confusing what to watch where. NBC should have some sort of channel guide where it says, on this channel, it's this right now. On this channel, it's this right now. Because I'm just watching Channel 4 because I think it's the easiest, and I assume all the big stuff is there.
Events are going to be on there, but they're not always on there live. By the way, Mike Tirico, who used to do a show on our network,
yeah,
is fantastic.
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. Like, he looks like he was born to do this. He's like super smooth and fun to watch. And
pretty
really
sure
good.
That's the main reason he went to, well, that and Sunday Night Football. He got a great gig.
And Michael Phelps is great as an analyst.
He's
fantastic. I thought he would be a stiff. It's the opposite.
Yeah, no, he's got unbelievable enthusiasm for the sport.
Yeah.
And it comes through.
He's really good. So NBC's doing a good job, but it's basically a TV show. Is it because there's no fans? Is it because
I don't think it's fans.
It's an off year. I don't know. Maybe I'll get into it more as it goes along. But by the way, here's a hard question. If I made you say, all right, for the rest of the Olympics,
yep,
you can only watch one sport.
Okay.
You get to pick it. What would you pick?
That's a good question. Throw that out there, too. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. You only get to choose one sport from the Olympics to watch.
And once
what
you,
do
once
you,
you
choose?
Pick the sport, you get to watch everything that happens in that sport, but you don't get to watch any of the other ones.
We'll do that coming up. I've got a very, very clear answer, like no hesitation answer. So we got that coming up for you. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And by the way, if you didn't know we were back in middays, where have you been? And this week in particular, you got to be with us all week long. The NBA draft is Thursday. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is Friday at 1 o'clock, right during our show. And the free agency in the NBA opens Monday at 3 p.m. And you know how that works. They'll start to roll out stuff. We'll start hearing stuff almost right away, even before that deadline comes up. So we're talking about the Olympics. If you can only watch one event for the rest of the Olympics, what do you watch?
You say your answer is easy.
My answer is easy. And I think it counts as one. It's track and field.
Well, that's a good answer.
Yeah, I mean, track and field for me is, and I got to go to the track and field stadium in Rio. I got to see Usain Bolt run his final 100 meters. It was fantastic. It's exciting. There's spectacle there. And I love watching, and especially we have so many African-American women who just kill it at the Olympics. They're
well,
just
you hit
unbelievable.
On something there. If you're picking one sport, you should pick a sport where you care about both the men and the women. And it's not always true. For example, for whatever reason, I don't care about men's gymnastics. I only care about women's gymnastics.
Right. We don't do well in men's gymnastics.
I don't know why. It's just the way I consume the Olympics.
Did you watch the women's gymnastics?
I have been, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't very good. I was
Simone,
surprised.
The
we
only thing
very
I care
good.
About is Simone Biles qualified for all six events, so she's still got a chance to clean up.
But I saw her like fall off the mat at one point.
Yeah, she's got to get better.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So, I wouldn't pick gymnastics. Track and field's a great answer because you get a lot of variety.
Yep.
But I don't know why, and it's only every 4 years. I don't watch it in between the 4 years. But I think swimming on TV is killer.
I do, too. I love swimming.
I just think Dan Hicks and Roddy Gaines are great. Did you see that race last night between that girl from Australia, Titmus, and Katie Ledecky?
Yes.
It was a long race. It was It was like 7 or 8 laps, and I'm like, man, I can't turn this off. I didn't know who was going to win. There was a 4x100 relay for swimming. Did you see the Titmus's coach from Australia go crazy when she won?
Yeah.
And by the way, the funniest thing about that they never mentioned is there was some young Japanese girl whose job it was to obviously keep him in the coaching box. Okay. He was not supposed to stray out of his restricted area. So when you go back and see the highlight of her coach, she had worked with this guy. Like, Ledecky is basically slaying Godzilla. You know, Katie has the world record in that event. She's really, she's the best American swimmer we have.
Right up there in the history of American swimming.
Right. So the Australian, Titmus, beats Ledecky by less than a second in this race. And her coach, who looks like one of the Hemsworth brothers, goes crazy. He's like acting like a pro wrestler. He's like jumping up and down and doing Hulk poses and screaming, and he runs out of the box. And this young Japanese girl, whose job it is to keep him in the box, can't contain him. He's too excited, and he's going bananas. And I love the reaction of the families that they're able to get.
Yes. Like, yeah, where they zoom away to the families. Yeah, really cool.
So
by the way, that she finished second, right? Katie Ledecky finished second in the 1,500 meters. She got the silver. Do you know that she went out and swam a 15-meter freestyle race right after that and set the Olympic record?
Well, not only that, she has the world record in the event where she got the silver.
Yep.
And that time last night was the second best time she's ever swam, only behind the world record. She swam great. That Titmus just was better. And I love Ledecky's attitude after the race. It was, you know, had I gone out and laid an egg, I would have felt terrible, but I didn't. I swam great. And
by the way, Katie Ledecky, the longer the race, the better she is. So this was the 400 meters.
Mace, in that race, she had the lead going into the final 100 meters, and then Titmus caught her. So Ledecky had the lead, but Titmus kicked better. But Ledecky's going to win a bunch of medals.
Oh, yeah, she is. I mean, the 1,500 is hers. She broke the Olympic record last night. I read somewhere that Katie Ledecky will have swam 30 miles by the time the Olympics are over. If you count all of the races, all the qualifying, all that stuff, she will have swam 30 miles.
All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Mark in Glendale. All right, Mark, you can watch one event at the Olympics, but that's all you get, one. What are you going with?
Well, man, I gotta side with you guys at the track and field and the swimming, but I'm going to throw another one out there because I watch those two all the time. Team handball. Now, if you've never seen team handball, try to use your imagination. It's very popular in Europe. It's like basketball with a volleyball-sized ball, and you throw it into a goal like you do soccer. You can't kick the ball, but you can throw it, and it's a slightly smaller court than a basketball court, and it is fast. U.S. is not very good at it,
right,
which is why it doesn't get a lot of attention, but I used to teach it when I taught P.E., and kids loved playing it. It's really, really fun and very high action. So aside from the two that you guys mentioned, which, come on, of course people are going to like that, but check out Team Handball. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, that's right. Great. I appreciate that.
All right, here's Melanie in Inglewood. Hey, Melanie, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John. Hey, Mace.
Hey, Melanie.
I'm riding with everybody else, and it is track and field. But unlike most people, I am a true
Shoot, we lost you there.
Yeah, too bad. She was.
Yeah, she sounded like she had a good take.
Sorry about that, Melanie. Cell phone problems. Maybe by the end of the Olympics, the ratings, Mace, were down for the opening ceremonies by 40%.
Right.
But I think that's more attributable to the fact that we're in an off year. It's 2021. No ratings are going to get bigger. We're so fractioned now with the way we consume media, with Netflix and Hulu and everything else. I don't think the ratings are ever going to go up.
Well, you know what's weird is I think the opening ceremonies ran like three times on NBC. Like, I DVR'd the 3 a.m. opening ceremonies and then watched them on Friday night. And I thought they were good. I thought they were a little dour. They were a little bit of a downer. But the drones, are drones not the craziest thing in the world?
Yeah, and by the way, what you can do with them now, it's ridiculous.
That globe in the sky of drones and then the shaping of the actual continent, I'm just blown away what drones can do. It's crazy. John, do you know that there is a tremendous hack at McDonald's? You know what a hack is, right?
Of course.
Okay. So this is from a TikTok user named Orlando Johnson. And he was eating at McDonald's when his friend asked a worker for a refill, not a refill of Sprite or even Coke. He went up to the McDonald's employee and asked them to refill his large fries. And they did it. And he put this out on TikTok. And it is apparently in the fine print. This is according to McDonald's historian. Turns out they have to do this. They have to refill your large fries. If you read
Since
the
when?
Fine print, a large fries gets unlimited refills. Now,
how did we
I
not
never
know this
knew that.
Until now?
Never knew. I've never thought about asking for refills on fries. But it is in the fine print. You're allowed to ask for a refill on fries. I think that's fantastic. This is like the most valuable news you will get today,
maybe.
I was
going to say, that's like completely game-changing. How did we not know about that?
Yeah, this is what TikTok does. TikTok, we get all kinds of these weird pieces of information that we never had before. You're really missing out on TikTok, John.
Never.
You don't have to be on it. You can just scroll through it.
Nope.
It's the most fascinating thing in the world.
Nah, if it's anything good, it'll show up on Twitter or show up on...
That's my goal with TikTok. If it's good, it'll show up on Twitter.
Oh, is that the way you go with TikTok?
Yeah, although my mom has a TikTok.
What?
Yeah. I was talking to her when last I saw her like a week and a half ago, and she was telling me how she just spends time kind of, you know, scrolling through Facebook, and she sees a bunch of TikToks that should make her laugh. So she went ahead and made an account, and she follows like three people, and she just said she just, you know, spends her day looking at TikTok and laughing.
I'm not even on Instagram, but Mace, TikTok sounds like it's very Mason. It's look at me, which is what you're...
Well, no, but it's also, I mean, people get recipes on TikTok. It's not all like dancing cats. People get recipes. People get life hacks. People get advice. Like, there's a lot of stuff on TikTok that you would be surprised is really valuable. I've got a TikTok account, at Venice Mace. You can follow me, although I have yet to do any TikTok videos.
Really?
I'm trying to come up with a really good one that'll go viral. But so far, nothing comes to mind. Can you think of a good TikTok for me?
Yes.
What?
When is your first trip into SoFi Stadium?
On August the 14th.
All right. When you do that, you should do a virtual tour.
Oh, that's
a good
idea.
One.
Because people haven't seen it. I keep trying to say it's impossible for me to explain to you how nice SoFi Stadium is. But if you did like a 2-minute video saying, all right, here's how it works. Here's why it's so great. Here's my seats. Your seats are spectacular.
Yeah.
Here's like kind of what life is like at SoFi, and here's what you have to look forward to if you're coming to a game this year, I think it would go viral.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's an excellent first TikTok. So August the 14th, I will release my first TikTok video at Venice Mace. I actually had to buy that handle from somebody.
What did it cost you? Can I guess?
Yeah.
Let me think. It's important to you. He probably doesn't know it's important to you.
Oh, he knows no, it's important. Yeah. He went out and got it because of me, knowing that I would come after him.
Mm-hmm. What would I give it to you for? I would tell you. I would tell you I want $200, and then let you negotiate me down to $150.
I paid, and the guy would not budge off the number. This ass who went out and took at Venice Mace on TikTok,
you
knowing that
north
it was my
200,
handle.
Did you?
I gave him $500. He would not budge off $500.
Sucker.
Yeah, but I mean, what am I going to do? I don't want somebody using TikTok as me, which is essentially what was going to happen. This guy had not posted. He was squatting, right?
Mm-hmm.
He took 100%. took my name at Venice Mace and knew I would come after him and ultimately set the price at $500 and would not budge, so I had to do it. And now I don't even use the thing.
Well, you will.
Yeah, I will. I will. Yeah. All right, coming up next for you, John, we've got the most dishonest TV news reporter in the world. The most dishonest TV news reporter in the world. That is coming up for you. And Radio Tinder's coming up at 2:45. Lindsay is off today. She'll be back on Wednesday. Jorge is off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Zach is filling in. So the team is a little bit different than usual, but it seems like you think it's going okay?
Yeah, well, I thought Jesse did a good job on Radio Tinder on Friday. But Jesse, anybody can nail their debut.
Oh, yes. I'm trying to go 2 for 2 here, but yeah, we'll see.
It'll be harder today for you to follow up strong. So let's
Much
see what
harder.
You come up with.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So 15 minutes away from Radio Tinder, and then at 3 o'clock, what Sean McVay said today about the Rams running back situation after the disastrous, terrible injury to Cam Akers, who is lost for the year. All right, John,
By the way, Mace, before you get into this, we just got a tweet from Kim Fuller. Thank you, Kim, for listening. Peacock website has the TV guide and all the airing of the Olympics. Just click on Olympics, and you'll be able to watch anything that's already aired or watch live for $5 a month. Free for 1 week. So there you go. PeacockTV.com.
I want to mention every day there's a lie on the show that I tell. And I want to take just one caller to try to get it, John. Okay. One caller at the end of the show.
Okay.
For a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. So you guys are very bad at picking out the lies.
Yeah, we've got it maybe once in the last week.
Yeah, no, it's very tricky. It's very true. We tell a lot of stories on the show. All right, so here is one that you will like because you worked in TV news for a long time. So there were terrible floods in Germany. You saw that, right?
Yeah.
So a German TV reporter named Susanna Olin did a story, and it was headlined Cleaning Up After the Flood. Presented by Susanna Olin, and the idea was she's in the middle of the muck and she's trying to help a little bit. And so what happened was somebody videoed her putting dirt and mud all over herself for the story.
Okay.
She wanted to look like she was in this part of the cleanup. And the video came out, and there she is rubbing mud on her top and making a streak of mud on her face. Mm-hmm. And she has now been suspended for cause, I guess, suspended while they investigate. But isn't that just the worst reporting in
the
world?
Isn't this what basically ruined the career of Brian Williams, the NBC anchor? Is he kept talking about places he'd been and stories he'd done where it turned out he wasn't there and never did them?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But were you ever in that position?
When I fix,
do you know of anybody in that position? You worked with
William,
a lot of reporters.
William Hurd in broadcast news. Remember when he?
Oh, that's true.
When he cried when they turned the camera around and he cried on him.
He cried. Yeah. What about those guys? Who was the guy that covered the fire in the van caught on fire?
I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
No.
There was a guy.
Think, what are you saying? He may have set the van on fire himself.
No. I'm not saying he did. I'm saying he got too close to the fire, and the fire actually swallowed up the news van that he had. You don't remember that story?
I don't. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, I don't know the guy's name or what channel it was or anything like that. But there was a guy that got really close to the fire in the van. And if you know that answer, by the way, if you're that reporter or have seen that story, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. Yeah, that is really dishonest. I'm going to make myself look like I'm part of the cleanup. I'm going to smear some dirt on myself.
And by the way, if she just would have gone out and been part of the cleanup, she probably would have got sufficiently dirty, right?
Correct. She would have gotten dirty if she actually did help.
She could have achieved her goal simply by doing it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I was looking at the Dodgers this week, and I watched all three games. And, of course, Kenley Jansen, as I predicted, came out and got the save in that 1-0 game on Saturday. And I would imagine the world is now breathing easier about Kenley Jansen as closer for the Dodgers, right?
No, I was more excited that Brusdar Graterol and Joe Kelly pitch well late. Because now I know we can go to him if we need him. I don't want to see Kenley out there all the time. He makes me too nervous.
I want to see Kenley out there all the time. Now, yesterday, they didn't go to him because he had pitched three of the last four games.
Right.
So he was not available yesterday, so they went to Joe Kelly. But I would have been totally comfortable with Kenley Jansen throwing in a 3-2 game. I think, in the end, everybody
has doubted. Tomorrow night, San Francisco, big series, you want Kenley out there.
If we're protecting a lead in the ninth inning, I absolutely want Kenley out there.
Yeah, give me Graterol. I don't know. Do we know if Kelly is going to have to go on the DL? I don't guess they don't call it that anymore on the injured list.
The IL.
Yeah, because
did he get hurt?
Yeah. Did you see the last play of the game yesterday?
Oh, right. Yeah.
When he ran over to field that ball and twisted his ankle.
I mean, there was.
Oh, I didn't realize he's
that,
in trouble for them.
Dave Roberts said he would address or say if there was anything, but I haven't seen anything of it, so I'm assuming that it's okay. But he did say that he tweaked his hamstring or something on one of the ground balls that he was fielding.
Okay, got it. Well, hopefully we still have him because he threw well. He's a little up and down. By the way, Chuck Henry from Channel 4, somebody saying, is the guy who got the van on fire.
I know, Chuck. I haven't seen that. I can't remember when that. It must have been years ago, right?
I just had a caller who said the same thing, too. It was Chuck Henry.
Okay.
Chuck Henry. Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But in the end, and we'll talk about this, I don't think the Dodgers – I think the Dodgers must get Max Scherzer. Part of it is keep away. You know, the problem is – you've got to win this division. Otherwise, you've got a one-game play-in with either San Francisco or San Diego. And as a Dodger fan, I do not want to be in a one-game play-in because anything can happen in a one game. Winning the division is unbelievably important, and keeping him away from the Padres would be a major move. Plus, it fortifies our rotation, which has gotten shaky. Buehler, Urias, Gonsolin, Kershaw's hurt right now. Urias, by the way, has never thrown this many innings. That's the other thing to keep an eye on. Never thrown this many innings. And if you add Max Scherzer to the rotation, I think you're back to World Series caliber. A guy that can start, I don't know if he'd start game one. I mean, I think Buehler would probably start game one. Scherzer start game two, maybe.
Here's the problem.
What?
I think Scherzer is going, and the reason we're talking about Scherzer is the Nationals are now 8 games behind the Mets. They got swept this weekend in a series. I think they're going to be sellers. And the problem is, Mace, I think the Mets are in. I think the Padres are in.
Yep.
I think the Giants are in. I think the Dodgers are in. I think that there's so many teams that want him that you're going to have to pay a king's ransom for this guy.
But we have got a guy that is right for this deal.
Are you suggesting Keibert Ruiz?
Keibert Ruiz, who is the player of the week or player of the month in the International League right now.
Right.
We've got Will Smith. Keibert Ruiz is going to be a stud somewhere. I can't imagine. I mean, he is a tremendous prospect.
What I'm saying is I think that the Padres and the Mets are gonna let the Nationals take multiple prospects. Now, I agree with you. You only need one catcher. And Will Smith's been unbelievable.
He hit the home run yesterday.
Yeah. So I'd put Keibert Ruiz in the deal. But would you put Keibert Ruiz and Josiah Gray in the deal?
Would it take Josiah Gray?
I think so, because I think that's what the Padres are going to do. I think that's what the Mets
are going to do. The price is way up, yeah.
I think it was the Astros might do it. I just think that it, because of the situation, and there's much more buyers, I think I probably would, by the way, put them both in it.
I would, too. You know who's got a strong – Bergman, I think, is probably going to be the anti-guy. He doesn't want to give up too much. Bill Plunkett writes, Keibert Ruiz named AAA Player of the Week.
By the way, do you know who was named National League Player of the Week?
No.
Chris Taylor. You know who was named American League Player of the Week?
No.
Kike Hernandez.
Kike!
So all the, it's just Dodger flavor everywhere. Ruiz, minor
Dodger
league player, Chris Taylor, Kike Hernandez.
Nice.
And let me add this. I know we got to get to Radio Tinder, but let me add this. So the Dodgers are 61-40.
Yep.
All right. They're 2 games behind the Giants, who are 62-37.
And second best record in baseball, I believe.
Yeah,
right?
They're tied. Well, the Astros are 61-39. So are the Red Sox. So they're right there for second best record. And I think most shows, including ours, have spent a lot of time on how they've been disappointing this year because we thought they would for sure have the best record in baseball.
Yep.
I actually think it's the opposite. If you would have come to us and said, okay, after 100 games, they put 101, but after 100 games, the Dodgers are going to be 61-40. But Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Cody Bellinger, Dustin May, Clayton Kershaw, all are going to go on the injured list.
Or be lost forever. And yeah. Trevor Bauer in there.
And Trevor Bauer is going to be basically eliminated, like completely cut out of the picture. Would you take 61-40? In a heartbeat.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. I mean, 61-40 is...
Kershaw, Betts, Seager, Bellinger, May, and Trevor Bauer? No way we thought this team would win 60 games after 100.
Bellinger is a disaster at the plate right now. Just a disaster. And Mookie Betts is on the IL.
Two of the five starters in the rotation, May and Bauer, are gone completely.
Gone. Yeah. We had so much pitching depth. That was the game plan. We have so much starting pitching. And now
I don't know how they're hanging
enough
in there as good as they are.
Yeah, no, they played really well. Muncy and Taylor have both been great. Will Smith has been great. They're getting a boost from guys. But you're right. I mean, there are multiple guys who need to get right.
Seager, Bellinger, May, and Bauer are basically have given them nothing. Nothing. And they're still 61-40. 2 games behind the best record in baseball. I think they've actually overachieved.
Given the circumstances, I think you're probably right. Get Max Scherzer. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Jesse is filling in for Lindsay today. She'll be back on Wednesday. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and Jesse's filling in for Lindsay. Do you have anything to promote there, Jesse?
You can follow Lindsay at her Instagram, which was Lindsay Baseball. I have a Twitter, JLo009. That's a promoting I got.
Okay, good. What do you got today?
All right, so since, you know, I did pretty good on Friday, I'm gonna start off with a really easy one today.
Good.
Today, you're
not going to do what Better did and ask us what our favorite color is, are you?
No, I was actually going to ask what is not your favorite color. How'd you know I was going to ask that? I was going to go the complete opposite.
You didn't really, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I didn't. So today's, there's like four national days.
By the way, John,
what,
actually, out of curiosity, what is your favorite color?
I don't think I have one. I think if you made me pick one, I would pick blue because I'm a UCLA guy, but I've got every color. I have very little green because it reminds me of the Celtics.
My favorite color is orange. My least favorite color is red.
There you go.
All right, so anyway, go ahead with your question.
Learn something new every day. All right, so an easy one to start off with. There's like four national days today. It's National Aunts and Uncles Day, National Coffee Milkshake Day, National One Voice Day, and National All for Nothing Day. But I'm going to skip all over those because the one day that I'm going to ask you about is National Bagel Fest Day. I don't know why it's called Bagel Fest and not just bagel, but here we are. So guys, swipe left or swipe right on bagels.
Bagels are excellent. I don't have them as much as I should, but I never pass them up if somebody brings them in, for example. Mace, nothing beats a cinnamon raisin bagel toasted with butter.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That is the home run of all bagels.
Now, for me, nothing beats, and I'm swiping right, nothing beats an everything bagel with tuna. Tuna salad. Oh
wait,
you so friggin'
wait a
good.
Minute. So an everything bagel has everything. Literally, you have like onion.
Onion and,
you're combining,
and poppy seeds
you're
and all
combining
that stuff.
Onions and tuna.
Yes, it's fantastic. Ugh. I used to eat one every day after the show when I lived in New York. But I'm a big everything bagel guy. What about you, Jess?
Yeah, I like the everything bagel. I'm not really picky. Like, if you have any kind of bagel on there, as long as I got cream cheese, I will eat it.
Yeah, cream cheese is awesome. Cream cheese is very
and then,
underrated cheese.
If you really like bagels, too, I recommend, I'm sure you guys know it, all but the bagel seasoning at Trader Joe's.
No. What is that?
It's basically like the everything seasoning that they put on the bagels, but it's just the seasoning. So you can put that like on regular toast, put some on that.
Oh, nice.
I like that.
The everything seasoning.
Yeah, my girlfriend does it with avocado toast. She'll put, you know, the avocado and then put some of that seasoning. And
You're one of those. Mm-hmm. Oh, avocado.
Oh, no.
Toast.
I don't like avocados. That's so my girlfriend.
You're Generation Z over there with your avocado toast.
I am not an avocado fan. I don't like guacamole. I don't like avocado.
I did not know Jesse was so snooty.
Did you not just hear me? I do not like avocados.
I did not hear you. I was talking. All right, what's your next question?
All right, next question. So this past weekend was Comic-Con at home. Now, this is like the least I've ever heard about
Comic-Con,
right?
Yeah, that's a little weird because normally Comic-Con, all the people get together at some remote location, normally San Diego. And all dress up, right?
And they've got panels of people.
It's like a humongous pop culture thing now.
Yeah, it's Comic-Con is really cool.
Yeah, so they didn't do it in person again this year. They did it at home. And I think because it was at home, it didn't really generate a lot of buzz. But one of the biggest buzz that came from that was the reveal of Dexter. They actually released the trailer for the revival of Dexter that's going to be coming out in November. The show originally ended in 2013, and this new revival is set 10 years after the show ended. And from the trailer, it seems like it's going to deal with Dexter trying to deal with hiding from his past and living his new life in the Pacific Northwest. So, guys, I ask you, swipe left or swipe right on Dexter returning?
I'm swiping left. I've never seen an episode of Dexter. Not one time. Mace, have you?
I have never watched an episode of Dexter. I love Michael C. Hall as an actor. Is Michael C. Hall coming back for this?
Yeah, he is coming back. A lot of the original cast, along with like some of the more well-known guest stars, like John Lithgow is going to be coming back as the Trinity Killer. Yeah, yep. His sister, Jennifer Carpenter, is going to be back.
Oh, so you're really down deep in this. You watched it.
So I watched it. It's weird because I started watching it from like the middle.
So give me the elevator pitch. What is Dexter about?
Okay, so Dexter is about Michael C. Hall's character who has this urge to kind of, I don't want to say urge. He has a thing for blood. He likes blood.
He likes blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he needs to kind of feel that craving of seeing blood. So his adopted father kind of showed him how to deal with that by killing people who are like, you know, rapists, murderers.
Right.
So he kills bad guys to get off on seeing
blood. He's a serial killer that kills the bad guys.
Exactly, yeah. And that's basically the whole show. And he himself is a forensics analyst at that point the show was set in Miami.
And that's why he never gets caught.
Yeah, because he covers his own track. He knows like how the blood is. He's like super.
I think it sounds really good. I never watched it, but I think it sounds really good.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, the first, I think like four or five seasons are really good. Then it kind of takes a really big dip. And then the way the show ended was just really dumb. It just ended with like him in the middle, like escaped. Like he's escaped. He didn't get caught or anything, and that's how it just
ended. So now that's why they're talking about redoing the end.
Exactly, okay. Yeah. They're kind of rectifying the ending.
All right, what's your – you got one more?
Oh, yeah, I got one more.
Okay.
All right. Oh, this was a fun one. So last week, it was the Space Wars.
Yes.
And now we enter the Planet Wars. So it was spoiled by Elon Musk's partner, singer-songwriter Grimes. She retweeted this picture of an account that showed a gas planet by the title of WASP-127b. And she says that this planet actually is owned by rapper Lil Uzi Vert. Now, he doesn't officially own it yet. The documentation is still apparently getting finalized. But once it gets through, he's going to be the first person to officially own a planet. So, swipe left or swipe right on humans owning planets.
Well, here's the weird thing. If you can't inhabit the planet, Mace,
yeah.
Like, let's say you own this gas planet WASP.
Yes.
What good is it? Like, how can you can't monetize it,
well,
right?
Well, whenever any astronomer looks at the sky, they're going to see Little Uzi Vert planet. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, but, you know, they can take planets away, too. Like, who was it? Was it Clayton Kershaw's uncle who discovered Pluto?
Right, and then they decided
they
Pluto's not really a planet.
Pluto's still a planet to me.
Yeah, so I can't see the upside of owning a planet unless the planet was inhibited, and then you can, you know, do some stuff.
Yeah, we're not at the point where anything can be inhabited yet, but
inhabited.
it'd be actually a good gift. Like,
I mean, you can get
the
star right now. You can buy a star.
The International Star Registry.
Right. What do you want for? Oh, it's our anniversary. I bought you a star.
That's exactly what I do with my girlfriend.
Do you really?
She went for that?
She's all about the stars and everything. So it was an easy sell.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So she has.
By the way, I think you got off easy. What'd you pay for that star?
I had to look back, but it was probably around like $100, maybe.
What a ripoff.
Yeah. It made her happy, and I can say,
yeah,
like,
no,
she owns a star
saying,
in the sky.
Why isn't it $10?
It's an out-of-the-box gift. I like it.
For $100?
Yeah, and they send you, like, a whole thing. Like, they send you I lost my train of thought. Like, a picture, not picture, certificate. There you go. That's a big certificate to frame.
Oh, not the dreaded certificate of authenticity.
Yes, they send you that. They send you a map of the star so you can find the star.
Is the biggest scam in the world
well,
today.
Well, wait a minute. It can be, but it doesn't have to be. Like,
if
Upper Deck gives you a letter of authenticity, it's authentic.
Okay, so I have a, like, a Kobe Bryant signed basketball. All right. I know he signed it. I watched him sign it. Okay. So if I gave that to somebody, they would know Kobe's. But what would stop me from grabbing another basketball, writing it on there, and then creating a certificate of authenticity?
Sure.
I mean, if I'm a bad guy, that's all I need to
right.
do.
It is. Here's the thing. In a previous relationship, a brother-in-law of mine, we weren't married or anything, but I considered him to be a brother-in-law. This is what he did for a living. What he did for a living was, and he gave me as a gift for Christmas one year, an Yvonne Rodriguez signed photo. And I was like, that's not Yvonne Rodriguez. You just made that up. You just
right.
wrote
you just
his
took
name.
You just bought a Sharpie and signed it.
Exactly. So it can be bad. But if you get it from a legit place like Upper Deck, like an Upper Deck letter of authenticity counts. Like, that's for real. But if it's just somebody drawing a, you know, printing up letters of authenticity and using a Sharpie, it's really bad business. But, yeah, there you have it. There's your Radio Tinder. Jess, I thought,
Yeah, this today was a step back from Friday, so tomorrow is your chance to save it and go out big.
For shizzle dizzle.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Yeah, so Jesse, the pressure's on tomorrow.
All right, I feel it already.
All right, good.
All right, coming up next,
True, by the way, I was just going to ask you, is it true that the Rams are at least saying that they're not going to go get another running back?
Well, Sean McVay talked about that today. Let's get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.